I mentioned last week, I hope this point is understood. I want to be very clear about this. I tried to differentiate between the tradition that we have pertaining to halachic Judaism, the observance of the mitzvos, in which there are divisions among the various groups, conservative, reform, and orthodox, whatever, which is really not the subject of the classes that I'm giving. That's not the controversies we're talking about. And the issue of the theology of Judaism, which is extremely, extremely important, and in which I believe that, ironically, this is how I view myself, as having the ability to transcend denominational divides. Sometimes somebody complimented me that way one time, and I happen to agree with him. The point being that it is conceivable, although I regard orthodoxy as being correct, everybody knows that, the correct way to observe the commandments, the mitzvot. But I tried to explain last week that when you're talking about the theology, the philosophy of Judaism, that's something which is apart from the mitzvot. And by the way, we will be having, hopefully next week, a guest who is an Noachide, very, very interesting individual, who will be, he's someone whom I studied with, and he's coming to New York, and I will ask him to make an appearance, and a very fascinating story. Someone who, in my opinion, is living according to Judaism, but he doesn't keep all the mitzvos, and you could ask him all the questions of why don't you convert and things of that sort. What brought him to Judaism? So that's something that people can be, you could be conservative, you could be reform, and from a theological standpoint, we can both agree on the theology of Judaism. Of course, up to the point where we reach the question, well, what determines how we keep, you know, the observances and so forth. But in terms of the abstract theology, what is Judaism? What's the good? What is the values of Judaism? Those are things that, as I said, can transcend. That's what I'm focusing on. But then the question is, well, we see that there's so many different classes. There's so many different groupings on that very issue, almost to the point where I made the statement, I think it's controversial, where I think that other Jews who are just as fervent with the mitzvot, maybe even more fervent, but I don't think we're practicing the same religion. Now, that's a very controversial thing to say. You know, people aren't going to like to hear that. But, I mean, let's be honest. Because how they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, what the goals are, what the values are, is not the same as I. Now, over the course of history, there's been many formulations. Now, the question is, well, is that something that's revealed? Is that from God? That's the basis of my position with regard to the mitzvot, is that God revealed the mitzvot. Therefore, we have to keep them. And God revealed the oral law, the interpretations, that this was not made up by man, so we can't just change them. Well, now the question is, what about when you come to the theology or the philosophy? Since there's so many different versions, and even among people that are practicing the same way, is that something that's up to us? You know, that God left to us to discover? Or is that also part of revelation? If it's part of revelation, so how come there's so many Judaisms? That I think is a pretty fair question. That challenged me. In fact, it's one of the issues that I was forced to focus on as a result of doing these classes. I hadn't thought about that before, and then this intensely. And I think that the answer is, and maybe in the course of these classes we'll modify the, you know, we don't have all the answers at this point, hopefully maybe it'll become clear. In my opinion, that is not the case, that there is a true philosophy of Judaism, but God chose to reveal it in a different way. The halachic, the mitzvos, this was revealed and passed down in a systematic way. God, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights, and God transmitted to him all the commandments of the Torah, and how to do the tefillin, and how to do the sukkah, and all of that. And then, of course, there's a branch which is the rabbinic, that the rabbis have the power, the authority to make a fence around the law, and so forth. But I don't believe that the same can be said, at least I don't believe it at this point, and I'm working with this concept. The same cannot be said with regard to the philosophy. God did not sit down and give him these are the philosophical principles, these are the values, these are the ideas, so that Moshe Rabbeinu theoretically could have written up a philosophy of Judaism that we don't have. But it's from God. But God chose to reveal it in a different way. We've got to use our heads. It's there. Read the Chumash. Read the stories about Abraham. I've been discussing it this past Shabbos. And the topic of my afternoon class is, are we practicing the religion of Abraham? These stories reveal a derech, that is a pathway, what his values were, but that's not the only thing. The data is revealed, the meaning of the mitzvos. The mitzvos contain deep ideas. What's the meaning of the mitzvos? So it's much more complicated, it's much more challenging, because in order for a philosophy of Judaism to be true, it has to be in line with the data. The data were given. It's much the same, for example, with science. That man is not making up science, he's discovering. The data is out there. Every genuine scientist will agree. But it has to be determined whether the theories make sense and whether they're consistent with the data. And that's the idea of studying. It's a fascinating study, to study the various philosophies of Judaism that are out there. The Kabbalistic philosophy and the Rambam's philosophy is two different universes. Two different universes. But each one, so what am I supposed to do? How do I know? Well, you've got to use your mind. Judaism is not simple. You've got to use your mind. And you have to think and you have to study. And at the end of the day, you have to make an honest decision. What is it that makes more sense to you? And some people today will say, well, no, what do I feel more comfortable with? Well, okay, but that's not my approach. As I maintain, the objective should be that the Judaism we practice should be real. It shouldn't be something that we're making up fairy tales. It's fairy tales for many people, in their own imagination. The meaning we assign to it is very, very significant. Even if you're practicing it. If you're practicing it with the wrong intention, I'm not saying it's of no value, I don't want to use terms like that. But we shouldn't look at it that way. We should be very greedy. We should seek to get the best, because if it's from God, it is the best. We have the revelation. The point, of course, is to access it, to study it. Now, having said that, tonight I want to take up what I call Maimonidean Judaism. That could be a whole course on that, believe me. That's right. I may have been a little bit too ambitious over here in what I could cover, what I could accomplish in these few weeks, but I'm going to try and give a picture, a flavor, so to speak. But it's just a flavoring. I hope you'll appreciate. I think you got a sense of my admiration is not the correct term, but I have for the Rambam. And I have to be honest, what the Rambam means to me, I gave you that challenge to think about people in history. And he was a genius, which is putting it mildly. One of the most significant historical figures. And as you study, you'll see that he had this in mind. Many of the things he did, he wasn't doing just for the particular situation he was in. He was cognizant of he had a vision of preserving Judaism for the future. And he undertook things that were very, very original and exceedingly courageous. Just the writing of the Mishneh Torah, the first codification of Jewish law, subjected him to tremendous scrutiny and opposition. The tremendous battles have been fought. The Jews are fighters. That's the image of the Jew as being a pacifistic type over history. Physically, we didn't have a chance to fight, but there was a different arena of warfare. Intellectual warriors. And nobody gets a free ride. Nobody. You could be the greatest. The Rambam was the greatest. There were other great. The Rashi was the greatest. And Tosfos was the greatest. Rabbi Akiva and the Vilna Gaon. This generation after generation, no people has produced a group of geniuses. It's almost impossible to. If you study Talmud, if you ever study Talmud, to master one page, and even superficially, to master the entire Talmud, whatever. I'm not going into that right now. Tonight we're going to study, however, this. The Rambam also was one of the most major figures in terms of defining the philosophy of Judaism. And over there, that if you talk about controversy, engendering controversy, whatever controversies were engendered by the Mishneh Torah, the Code of Jewish Law, are really minor. Those are minor compared to the expression of his philosophical views and how he viewed Judaism. That's really when people historically speak about the Maimonidean conflict, it really has much, much more to do with the philosophy of the Rambam. So let's see if we can, in general terms, I want to give a flavor of the philosophy of the Rambam. So what was the Rambam's view of Judaism? What is Judaism? I mentioned to you before that you have this tension. Is Judaism a religion? A religion is one kind of an institution. A religion is a system that man devises to propitiate the deity, to gain security for himself, perhaps the afterlife. But religion, as commonly understood, is not where a person goes to learn, to study, to gain knowledge. That's philosophy. That's science. So my question is Judaism a religion or is Judaism a philosophy? Well, according to the Rambam, the essence of Judaism, it is a religion, but it's a religion, as some have coined it, a religion of mind. It's the ultimately, it's God's revelation, it's the ultimate truth. That Judaism is ideas, true ideas about every aspect of life and the ultimate wisdom. It's God's wisdom. That is to say, it's not mystical religious practices that somehow or other bring about changes in the world or please God, but they're, to us, they're mysterious. We don't know why, but we just are obedient. That's the man of faith. But to the Rambam, everything is divine wisdom. And wisdom about every aspect of life. That's the amazing thing. And many people are not even aware to search for this. That how to live one's life, how to perfect oneself. In other words, it has been described as the guide, the user's handbook, so to speak, because God created man. God, that was the first revelation, so to speak. But man is a very complicated kind of a being. And what is everybody's involved to this day with all the progress that we've made with the technology, with the science, what are we using it for? The more man has, the more crazy he gets. And then because he's got this tremendous technological ability and he does much more harm with it than good. There is a lot of good being done. There's no question about that in the realm of medicine, in the realm of saving lives. But in terms of the values, what the purpose is, there's a tremendous, we don't see too much progress. We don't see too much progress historically because that's the big question. What's the purpose? Man is a very strange kind of a being. And then with all the progress, he's not an ounce happier. There's more cases of mental suffering today than ever before, and drug use and things of that. Why? Because why? We have pretty much we have everything that we need from a physical standpoint. It's unbelievable when you study history, the tremendous wealth and materialism and comfort that man has today. If he only knew what to do with it, we could bring about the Messianic era. If only he knew what to do. Why does he? Because he lives in his fantasy. He's a creature of fantasy. See, he just wants more and more, but he doesn't have a guideline as to what it is that he, what's the essence of his soul, and what is the part of him that he really has to satisfy, and what's his mission, and what's his purpose. That's the Torah. That's a religion for you. It's not for God. God doesn't need your service. These are the views of the Rambam. God doesn't need your service. A person feels that he's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't know why he's doing it. It's burdensome to him, but he doesn't really, he's happy. He's fasting on Yom Kippur. That's one of the most popular mitzvahs, strange as it seems. He's happy. Why does every, you know, Jews especially, don't get upset, this is a young audience, but the old timers are very, I always, over the course of the years, sometimes a person is permitted to break the fast. Or sometimes he's supposed to because he has to take medicine. Judaism puts life, if there's a danger to life, then you're not allowed to fast. And then you violate the Sabbath. But I notice many, many people are extremely resistant, and even if they're supposed to, they'll take risks because they want to fast on Yom Kippur. That means something to them. Why? Because they feel they're doing something. At least once a year I'm suffering, and they want to suffer because I suffer and I get my atonement. There is that sense, and I don't argue with anybody on that. I smile, it's very nice. But there is that sense that I'm doing it, I'm so to speak making God happy. This is what God wants me to do. I'm do it for God. That idea is not correct. A person shouldn't have that idea. In fact, at the Yom Kippur service, we say in the Ne'ilah service, V'yim titzdak, and if man is righteous, matifalo. What are you doing for God? You can't do it. You can't do anything for God because God is the ultimate existence. God is, just in our own terms, is a being who's completely self-sufficient. We don't even know why he created us. He didn't create us because he has a need or because, heaven forbid, people, because God was lonely and God in search of man and God needs man. These are idolatrous concepts. It's a very tough question, why did God create man? We may not ever know the answer to that, but that may not even be essential, why did God create man? The question is that God created man, he created him with a design, with a specific type of nature. And it's very complicated for man to discover that nature. So he gave him the guidebook, the user's book. That is to say that every one of the mitzvos in the Torah, the purpose is to elevate us, that for our benefit. The Torah believes in selfishness. You should be selfish. Man must live for himself in the correct way. That's what the Torah is telling you. Why should you keep the Torah? Why? God needs your service? No, it's purely for your benefit, for your good, for your life. Choose the good. Choose life. Because as a result of choosing the Torah, you discover what the real essence of life is about, and you perfect your soul. And when you perfect your soul, you're fulfilling your nature. And that's what happens. You will have. That's what the Torah demands, that a person be happy in the service of God. If a person is not happy in the service of God, there's something wrong. You know, it's got to be that way. Because this is the best way for you to live. Now, therefore, it could be you're going through the motions, but that's why it's so important to understand the meaning, the reasons. When a person is enlightened as to why he's doing something, what's the significance of keeping kosher? Tremendous amount of ignorance in these areas. It's a taboo, it's an ancient taboo, pig is not good. All these things are absolute nonsense. There's a rational reason. A rational reason for every mitzvah of the Torah. Some of them are more apparent and obvious, as you see. Eating matzah to recount great miracles, dwelling in the sukkah to recount the experience and being humble. There's obvious reasons, there's profound. By the way, I want you to know this, that there's different levels of reasons in the mitzvahs. I'm talking simplistically. On a simple level, they're very important. But as you probe deeper, you'll see there's different layers of meaning. But there's no such thing as a mitzvah that's arbitrary. And there's no such thing as a mitzvah that is mystical or magical, as the Kabbalists would want to say, that you doing a mitzvah will unites worlds, correct tikkun, makes a tikkun, corrects the worlds, and has a cosmological, that man can have a cosmological effect. That is absolutely contrary to the Rambam, Maimonidean Judaism, because that's a negation. In my opinion, that's a complete negation of the whole idea that every mitzvah is for our benefit. Now, there may be, you'll ask me, I'm sure you're all aware that there's mitzvahs that are called chukim, that are called statutes. You've heard the division, right? The statutes. And these are the mitzvahs that, at first glance, do not appear to have any rational meaning whatsoever. For example, shatnez, wool and linen in one garment. That's one of the most challenging of the so-called chukim. Because how can you explain something like that? Does it matter if I'm wearing a jacket? Does it make the slightest? Am I an ethical person? Because my jacket doesn't have wool and linen, and it has that little thing that checked by the shatnez lab? So does that make me a better person? And if I'm wearing a garment, and you're going to do a survey, and you're going to find that people with shatnez in their clothing are less moral, less ethical, what could possibly be? The answer is that there is a branch of mitzvos, the Rambam. It's not just the Rambam, by the way. The other so-called rationalists. But I think that everybody even agrees to these points that I'm making. That all of these mitzvos have a reason. But some of them are hidden from view, so it's deeper, it's more profound. Because the Torah is for everybody. The Torah is for the ordinary individual. It is to perfect each person, to perfect the entire society. So there are certain mitzvos that are very advanced, very profound, but they all have reasons. And to the Rambam, it's sort of blasphemy to say that the creator of the universe, whose only purpose is to do the good for man, to help man achieve something, achieve his perfection, that he would give us a command that has no meaning, that is just arbitrary. So, great thinkers have discovered. That's part of it. You have to study. You may not discover a reason for every mitzvah. You will discover reasons for most of them. There is an interesting book, and it's translated into English, if you want to. It's called the Chinuch. He goes through the Taryak mitzvos. How many mitzvos are there out there? 613. And he goes through them. It's a good work anyways. Because every Jew should know his Taryak. We should all know, at least on a basic level. So he goes through every mitzvah according to the Parsha of the Torah. And he gives a basic overview what the concept of the mitzvah is. Some of the main laws. It's a good review. It's a good review. And then he gives you the root. He calls it the root of the mitzvah, which is a philosophical explanation. And you can read it in English. And if you do, I don't know, two mitzvahs a day, how many by the end of the year you could probably do it, you'll all know Taryag. It's a good education. You pick up a lot of knowledge from this. The only bad news is that, well, you see, it's good to know Hebrew. If you know Hebrew, so you get the Hebrew one volume, it's 12, 13 bucks. If you don't know and you have the English, it's five volumes, it costs about 100 bucks. So that's the, but you get five volumes, so you get five people and you just keep exchanging volumes till you all have the whole thing. Anyways, there is a reason, by the way, for Shatnez, but I'm not going to tell you right now. There's a reason for all of them. The only one that was not discovered by Solomon, King Solomon searched for the reasons for all the mitzvos, and he discovered the reasons for all the mitzvos except one, which he couldn't discover the reason for that. Well, the Rambam uses that to prove, so you see, all the mitzvos have reasons, because otherwise why would he have searched? The one is the red heifer, the famous mitzvah of the red heifer. But there was an individual who did discover the reason for that. And who is that? Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, not Moses, Maimonides. The Rambam didn't claim that he had discovered the reason. I don't know that even if he thought he did, he wouldn't make that's a bold claim to make. But historically, even King Solomon could not discover the reason for that. But from there you see that all of the mitzvos have reason. For the Rambam, the crucial verse in the Torah, which expresses the philosophy of the Rambam that we're talking about, that you should seek out the wisdom of the Torah, that the Torah corresponds to human reason, that you will never ever find a conflict between, we're not afraid to study science. Indeed, the Rambam advocates the study of science, and according to the Rambam, and you can understand why this would engender a lot of controversy. The history of religion is marked by the conflict between science and theology. And how many fundamentalists are absolutely opposed to any kind of studying of secular? Secular is dangerous. For the Rambam, it's a mitzvah. For the Rambam, not only the Rambam. There's many statements attributed to the Vilna Gaon that how important it is for a Jew to understand the Torah on the highest level. He has to have other types of knowledge as well. Well, I mean, just astronomy. The Jews really excelled in astronomy, fixing of the moon, the new moon. You have to know astronomy. But there is a verse in the Torah, and I don't want to say, it's not right to say it's one of my favorite verses, because that's disrespectful. How can you play favorites with divine revelation? But, emotionally, I'm still a person. I have some favorites over here. Anyone, which verse? It's in Devarim. All right, that's because they read that in the summertime, so you're all on vacation. You know, you're not in shul at Shabbos. But, Ushmartem vasisim osam, you shall guard them and keep them. That is the mitzvot. Kihi chachmasvem uvinasvem li'enei ha'amim. For this is your wisdom, chachma, uvinasvem, and your discernment in the eyes of the nations. Ashe yishmu es kolachukim ha'ela, who will hear, they'll learn about all of these different statutes. The amru, and they will say, rak am chacham v'navon ha'goy ha'god lazeh. But only a wise and discerning nation is this great people. Now, is that an unbelievable statement? That's our national mission. This is not just another point. According to the Rambam, this pasuk, this verse in the Torah, that's our national mission. That God revealed the Torah itself is referring to itself as a system of divine wisdom. But it's not just for us. Well, more about that next week with this Noachide. We have a mission. The mission is that the entire world should benefit from this. God did not, he entrusted it to us. This whole idea of a chosen people then has to change. In Maimonidean Judaism, he's very good on these types of issues. Menachem Kellner, he's one of the leading scholars. I don't know if you've heard of him. One of his books, he has a number of books on philosophical, but he's really made a specialty of the study of the Rambam. And he's good. Maimonides' confrontation with mysticism. And that just came out, that's after I decided to give this course. So, you know, I couldn't help but, want to get that book. This one is an older book, Maimonides on Judaism and the Jewish people. So he goes through many topics. Maimonides' view of the uniqueness of the Jews, Maimonides' view of the world to come, Maimonides' view on Gentiles, Jew and Gentiles. So he's taken some very significant topics and he's made a study of them. I recommend both books. Oh, where was I? I guess that wasn't him. Years ago. That was before he... Well, he was been on Oprah, too. Let me just find the... Yeah, here it is. Oh, here it is.
Upset with the idea that monkeys can become people. But if God wanted turtles to turn into giraffes,
In other words, we deny that there was nothing, and due to certain accidents, everything came into being, and the physical universe came into being by accident, and then the earth and the planet, and that everything was an accident, there was no creator, and the universe, that's all we're contesting. We can't explain the life, what we find, the universe that we find, with all of its wisdom and all the design, and it goes back originally, it was all just an accident. That's by chance, that the whole thing is purely chance. That's what we're denying. We're saying there's a creator. What method did he use? Did he use a method as would seem to be from a literal? Questions. Well, I'll give you somebody else. I have to give one guess. I have to give each person one question here. Until everybody gets the question.
The concept, the statement, in the world to come.
Yes.
It's not mentioned in the Bible. Where does it come from? If somebody goes to Sheol, can it get to the world to come?
The Rambam has a... I didn't bring that... The Rambam... happy time. No, I got to give others a chance, though. You had a chance. I have one more question. Yes.
So you're saying that the Rambam basically is he posits a dualistic universe. There's a body.
For sure. For sure. Oh yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He wasn't. Do you mean was he a chassid? All right. That was not fair. But I guess that's it. Is there any? I mean, I used up my time. Normally, people are coming.
You mentioned the perfection of the soul.
Right.
And what intrigues me is someone suggested that a baby is the most selfish human in the world because a baby says, "I want to be fed, I want to be wiped, I want to be taken care of, and if I don't, I'm going to make you miserable." So the baby is 1 week or 1 year old. Yet, 1 year old, yet your character has to be improved. So. One part of the human being that's not perfect when he's born is his character.
Okay.
And that's so
that's pretty well.
Developed. So it's interesting you say the purpose of mitzvahs is to perfect your soul.
Correct.
It's also to perfect your character.
Well, I mentioned that. I said two purposes. It's the perfection of the soul. It's also the perfection of the body, the whole society, all those different aspects. I think I got to stop right here. Good night, everybody. They're breaking down the doors. I can see.
Someone has suggested that Judaism is a legal system.